to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back, everyone. Got to say, more people listening than ever to the podcast. So thank you for sharing. Thanks for reviewing and rating as well online. Hopefully you've got the podcast app, so it's nice and easy for you. And you get a little reminder every Friday morning. So first of all, I want to say a big hello to all the team at Exquisite Boutique in West Derby. Getting everyone through lockdown, delivering to your door. Find them on Instagram and on Twitter and Facebook as well. This week, I've got one of our ultimate ladies of Liverpool on, Chrissy Rock. Now, she's full of laughs. We know this girl can entertain, one of the brightest and funniest comedians that we'll know. She's absolutely brilliant. Liverpool born and bred. But whilst we were podcasting this week about her big debut on MasterChef and the jokes were coming thick and fast, we stumbled upon something that's very close to her heart and something that's worrying her at the moment thanks to lockdown: domestic violence. This is going to bring tears to your eyes. It was unexpected for the both of us, but the conversation took a turn and we went with it. And I think you need to sit down, listen to every word that Chrissy has to say and pass it on to someone around you who could possibly need it. This is Ladies of Liverpool with Chrissy Rock.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Hello, Chrissy. It's only Leanne.
Hiya, you know, nice.
I'm good. Are you wearing a mask right now?
No, I'm in the house.
You've been locked down for how long now? Because you were on a cruise when all this kicked off, weren't you?
I know. I never thought we'd get back.
I remember you setting off on the cruise, and I know you've been looking forward to this cruise for like forever and a day, and you finally got on it, and then they wouldn't let you off.
But we weren't confined to the cabins. We just couldn't dock anywhere. And my husband went, "This ship's slowing down." I went, "Oh, shut up, because you've got a boat on the Norfolk Broad. You think you're Captain Pugwash?" But it was. Remember that advert years ago where it says, "The train goes, but it doesn't stop here." And it just whizzes past. That's what we saw of Singapore. Oh, we were crying. Oh. Honest to God.
So you finally got home after you were stuck on your ship. You finally got home. You're locked up in your house. Who've been your lifelines during lockdown, Chrissy?
I phone a lot of people up, so I keep in touch that way. And then I sit there and think, would I ever go on a cruise again? The way things are, I would never go on a dinghy now, never mind a cruise. Because the shock was, when they went Fremantle, I thought, where's that? Yeah. And I thought, they went, it's Australia. I said, oh, God, we're going to Australia. And how long is it going to take us to get there?
Yeah.
And then these disembarkment cards to say you can only take 25 cigarettes in. And I had like 25 cartons. I thought, oh, no, they're going to rob me fags.
Oh, no. You've got no ciggies. You're not somewhere where you plan to go on your holiday and you can't get home.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Talk me through MasterChef, Chrissy.
Well, the agent phoned me up and he said, I've booked you for MasterChef. And they went, you're on? I went, you're having a laugh. I can't cook. And he went, Chrissy, don't. Because you won. Come down with me. I said, yeah, because they help you there. They don't here. They just throw you in a cupboard and say, take what you want. You know what I'm saying? Is this a spud or what is this? A turnip or a carrot? Or what? I didn't know.
Before going on the show, had you ever done, apart from Come Dine With Me, had you done any serious cooking? Because it's quite serious, MasterChef.
No, I'm Greg's. And I only eat Greg's because it's got one of the five a day in it. So I'm like corned beef hash or scout. You know, I can do that. But I thought, I couldn't believe it.
Did part of your hope that when you started filming, it wasn't like what you see on the telly, that they'd be there helping you make stuff and making it look good?
Yeah, no, they don't. Yeah. And I'm thinking, my God, and when you go in there, all these people are going, oh, have you got alfalfa? Have you got this? Cumin? And I thought, oh, God, I'm looking for salt and pepper here. But the thing was, they said, you're here to learn.
Yeah.
And I did learn. You know what I mean? They give you little tips and things like that. So I did learn. Now, I'd rather cook something than open a tin. You know what I mean?
Since coming off MasterChef, what have you made? Yeah. What have you been impressed with that you've made on your own, in your own kitchen?
I made Thai green curry with beef. So I've made that from scratch.
Okay. Yeah.
I follow recipe books now. I have a bash at recipe books, which are good.
Oh, I don't even know who this is I'm talking to. This is like a whole different person, this.
But apparently, when they show you the photo in a kookery book, that's a staged photograph.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. The ice cream is actually mashed potato. It's staged. Yeah. So when it comes out, it never looks like the picture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all a big con.
Mine doesn't anyway.
Chrissy, who was your favourite contestant then who was on the series with you?
Oh, all of our little group was lovely. We all encouraged each other. We all loved each other. There was no bitchiness between us. And we wished more luck and everything. So you can't really say who was better than anyone. I mean, the lad I had, Riyad, he was a young Irish lad. Judy Murray, she was in our team. And the Rowan, he was funny, him. And the lad from Towie, you know.
What was he like?
He was nice.
Was he lovely?
Oh, yeah. I can't think of his name. I'm terrible.
You can't say who won, what team won. You can't give any spoilers away.
No, it wasn't me, though, but I had an absolute ball, honest to God. But we really had good fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether I could do British Bake Off, because if I'd done a sponge, it'd come out like a biscuit, I think. I don't know.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
Aren't you doing, like, art for domestic violence survivors?
Yeah. Hopefully, I'm going to get it framed and see if we can raise some money, you know, for them. 906% increase since the lockdown on domestic violence.
It's
really unbelievable.
I think being locked down and away from your family and friends, it's an ideal breeding ground, isn't it, for domestic violence? You've got no one to run to, nowhere to turn to. And of course, everyone was expecting an increase, but so massive. It's just horrendous. But you've had it, obviously, you're quite open about your experience with domestic violence. Talk to me about your story, Chrissy, for anyone listening who is maybe going through something similar or knows someone who is and needs some advice about dealing with it.
I've moved on from that, but when I saw that storyline from Corrie, 100% to them two actors and actress, they were amazing. And when he was in the house shouting at her, the last episode before she attacked him, like, I was screaming at the telly going, open the window, smash the window, blah, blah. And I thought, I wasn't even shouting at the telly. I was shouting at me because I've been in that situation. And it's easy to say, walk out and walk away. Easy to give advice. Taking advice is hard. Where'd you go? You know, and then no disrespect to refuges. You go to a refuge and you feel like you're being punished again because it's like you're in this place, you're in one room with bunk beds and a single bed, and you feel like you're away from your friends, you're away from your family, you've got to be in by 8 o'clock, you've got to do this, and you can't go out until you've done that. So you feel like you're being punished all over again, and it's unfair. You know what? And I mean, the refuges are fabulous, don't get me wrong. You're all safe, but it's just like you feel...
It's not an easy decision, is it? It's not like you step out of that awful environment into this wonderful environment. You know, it's still so tough. So what was the turning point when it came to you when you walked out of your awful relationship?
I just got up one day and as I come down the stairs, before I got to the bottom of the steps, I went, I'm going. Something in my head said, go.
Yeah.
And I had no plans. I never got up that morning, thus I'm going. I never had nothing. I just, the clothes were stood in, me and my two kids, and I just walked out the door. I didn't know whether I was going left or right, but I knew I wasn't going to go back. Yeah. And the longer I stayed out, the more it was like, oh, I can't go back now because I'll get battered, bashed up for being out longer than I should have been, you know?
Yeah.
And I knew I wasn't going to go back, but I didn't know where to go. I couldn't go to my mum's because he knew where my mum lived. And then it was taking the trouble to my mum's. And my mum, you know, she had had a stroke and my dad, God love him, he wasn't into arguing or fighting with anyone. And he didn't need that. They didn't need that. So all my brothers were younger than me. So I just didn't know where to go. And I ended up in this, a hostel. And I'll never forget, I had chips and egg for my Christmas dinner. And it was the best Christmas dinner I ever had in my life.
Oh, my.
our chaser got this little like fanny handbag with a plastic umbrella at the side. Remember them? Our Hayley got a little teddy bear, and so they give them a toy, you know, to open on Christmas Day. But it was the best Christmas dinner I ever had, and I just knew I was going to be safe. But don't get me wrong, I'd left loads of times, but I'd gone back thinking it was going to change, and nothing changed. The only thing that changed is I had a black eye on the left eye or a black eye on the right eye.
Yeah, so that was just the same. And every time, did you believe this time was going to be different?
Yeah, but the thing is, he used to say, well, girl, I'll find you. I'm going to find you, I'll kill you. And no one will know you breathed on this earth, never mind walked on it. And you believe them. You actually believe what they say, because they get into your mind that much, you can't think, because you think they're reading your mind. And that's what I've got. You know, I do a lot for domestic violence and that, but people say, tell them to leave. They'll leave when they're ready to go, when they start getting their self-esteem back, when they start getting the self-worth back. They will, because don't forget, you're browbeat and frightened and terrorised, and there's nowhere to turn. You feel that you're being punished every which way you go.
I hope someone's listening to this right now, and whether they leave, you know, today, next week, in 10 years' time, but just whatever you're saying right now is hitting home, so they know that whenever they choose, whenever they feel they can make a change, they can do it. You've done it. Chrissy's done it. It wasn't easy. She said it wasn't easy, but it can be done. When you're ready, when you're able, it can be done, and you can start a whole new life. Because look at you. Yeah. You turned one corner, and the next thing you know, your whole life opens up, and it takes you onto a totally different path.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Oh, but there was a documentary not long ago. Did you watch it, Chrissy? About that lad. And it really opened my eyes to it. And it was this lad's family, Chrissy. And they could see what was going on. But he was in love with this girl. Everything you've heard from girls' sides of the stories, it was a lad's side of the story. And she had him. So he was terrified to move out that house because they had a child and he was worried about his own family's safety. Oh, it was absolutely horrendous. But I think that opens everyone's eyes up to the fact that this isn't just something that happens to women. It could be someone listening to this podcast right now whose brother is going through something similar. Yeah. Maybe the dad's remarried and they know they're dealing with abuse, be it mental, be it physical. They're dealing with abuse and they don't know what to do.
But that's it. You see, I remember when my husband used to get us in a corner and lift his fist up, and I'd be hitting the wall with my head, and my brain would be saying to me, just this doesn't get it over with.
Yeah.
But it was that waiting for him to do it. You know, you'd be going like that and you'd be hitting your head on the wall. And the worst thing was, I'm getting bashed up and I'm saying I'm sorry because I didn't know what I was saying I'm sorry for.
No.
Because I didn't know what I'd done.
You just want it to stop. You're just trying to look for something to make it stop, aren't you?
Yeah. But it's a horrible, horrible feeling. And, you know, there is help out there, but what's so frightening now is a lot of these men and women probably are plied with drink, plied with drugs, and they don't know what they're doing. You know what I mean? So you could be lying there dead and they wouldn't even know, or whatever.
Oh, and it makes your blood run cold, doesn't it?
I know. And there's people going, oh, I'll have a man at me, I'd knock them spark out. But that it's not just that. It's like, if you're in that situation, nobody knows what you do because it's a gradual situation. You're useless. Look at you. No wonder I drink, because I have to look at you. Go and look in the mirror and see what I'm looking at. You're stupid, you're this, you're that. But you believe them. Yeah. You actually believe that you're that person they're making you. And you turn into that person because you're always trying to please them. Because if you please them, you know, when you come in the door, stand to attention. And, you know, because you don't know whether you should sit down, say, aren't you going to ask me where I've been? Okay, well, where have you been? Mind your own business. What's the cost to do? Who are you? Do you think you're my mother? Like, telling me what to do. Punch, punch, punch. And I'm like, I couldn't win. Whatever I said, I couldn't win.
Yeah. I don't know what's worse. Obviously, the physical pain's horrendous, but to be on your nerves from the minute your eyes open to the minute their eyes shut at night, you must have been praying for him to go to sleep.
Oh, honest to God. It was like, when he'd go out, I'd be like made up. And then the minute you hear the key and turn in the door, my stomach would turn. I think, oh no, what do we do? What do we say? Yeah. You know, and he'd come in, I'd be sitting on the couch and he'd go, get on the floor like the dog you are. And I'd sit on the floor. And I'd be like, oh God. And it was horrible.
Anyone who doesn't know you, they see you on the telly, they'll see you on MasterChef over the summer, having a laugh, having a joke, holding her own. You come across as one of the most confident women our city has to offer. This isn't about confidence, is it?
No, it was never about confidence, because I had none. You know, I had no confidence, but I got to the extent that I thought that's all I was with. And that's where you know, where I try and say to these women, you're worth more than that. Find your inner strength. Find yourself to get out. Because I swear they're never going to change. They never, ever change. And you're sitting there, who could just snap your neck, smash your head, push you down the stairs. But it's things later on in life. When you're young, you're getting bashed up. When you get older, the wear and tear that has occurred in your body, you know, you could get arthritis, you could get fibromyalgia, you can get, you know, start developing cancer. And so
stress,
it's all later on in life, you know, blood pressure, stroke, heart attack. But it all builds up to later on in life when you're older, what your body's took.
The sooner you can get out of the situation, the sooner you can get out that door and get away from it, the better. But it's a hard one because you can't say to someone, get out now, and they go, oh, okay, I hear what you're saying. So as someone who's been through it, you've come through the side, you've said some brilliant things throughout this podcast, they will never change. You know, you've got to let people move on their own time. But remember these people, these men, these women who are abusing you, they aren't going to change, so don't wait for that to happen, because that's not going to happen. But is there any other advice you can give to someone now who's desperately clinging on for you to tell them what to do?
Instead of waiting for them to love you, which they won't, love yourself. And then the minute you start loving yourself, I mean, if people don't like me, I don't care. As long as I like me, I'm all right. You know what I mean? I don't go around going, oh, look at me. I'm not one of them. But I'll learn to like me.
Yeah.
And the minute I started liking me, I could move on. Because you go around your life going, making people happy and trying to do, you know, make a nice home, make sure your kids are all right, make sure you know, your feet. And the only person you forget to look after is yourself. And then when you start looking after yourself, people go, God, they're selfish them, aren't they? Mm. So you go through that guilt of being selfish. But there's nothing wrong with putting yourself first, because you spend that much of your life pleasing other people, because if you please them, maybe they'll make you happy.
Yeah.
But you don't. Happiness is a state of mind. Happiness is what you want inside. So every day I get up now and I have two choices. What am I going to wear and what am I going to eat? And everything after that just comes in. But that's the hardest thing to do, when you're sitting there worrying about everything, and especially with this lockdown now and no one's got any money and no one can go to work, and am I going to lose my house? Am I going to, you know, my poor kids are being tutored at home and I can't string sentence together, or I haven't got no crayons or pens for them, you know, and the kids are scared, they want to go out. All that. But the thing is, you've got to think of yourself, because if you're in, how can you look after anyone else?
That's right. I just hope anyone listening to this who needs that little bit of strength has got it from you, and I'm sure they have, Chrissy. If you're listening and you need help either for yourself or someone you love, it's all going to be at ladiesofliverpool.com. So just head to the website, get all the info you need, and look after the ones around you. Chrissy, once again, it's been amazing having you on the podcast, one of the ultimate ladies of Liverpool. We love you. Thank you, Chrissy.
Then I'll see you soon. Ta-ra.
Ta-ra, my babe. Bye, love.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.